Hey everybody, we're going to get started. This is the Union State Meeting, May the 16th, 2026 at 6:02. This is the Bivens decision from Bivens versus six unknown agents 405-US388 from 1971. This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, posting inflammatory language in public forums, including chats, is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone at today's meeting who is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, city, or county agencies present? Do you know or have you ever received money or personal support of any kind from the intelligence community? Is there any response to this Bivens decision for the first time? This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory language in public forums, including chats, is forbidden and shall be addressed in appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegation, is there anyone at today's meeting who is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, city, or county agencies present? Do you know or have you ever received money or personal support of any kind from the Intelligence Committee? Is there any response to the Bivens decision for the second time? This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory language in public forums, including chats, is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflicts and false allegations, is there anyone at today's meeting who is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, city, or county agencies present? Do you know or have you ever received money or personal support of any kind from the intelligence community? Is there a response to the decision for this third time? Not hearing any. Anyone who is here under false pretense, anyone who is working for any foreign government, including the territorial United States or municipal United States, anyone who is being paid or coerced to be here, must fully disclose their presence and purpose now or leave the premises or conference call. If they subsequently show up as federal witnesses, they are discredited for failure to disclose. Upon no response to this notice of the Bivens decision, this meeting shall now proceed. Thank you all for being here. Got a lot of stuff to go over. I know everybody that we haven't, I haven't been able to figure out a good way to record in-person meetings, especially if we're not doing them online. And even if I did them online, it's hard to be next to the computer because we're going to be working over documents and that kind of stuff to, to get our documents done. So when we face the de facto, whatever, we'll have clear understandings of what we're doing. Jessica had your hand up. Do you want to say something? Okay. Trying to remember now where I'm going to go. One of the first things I want to talk about, and I'm going to do a little screen share here, is Anna come up with another document that we all need to get done. I know you guys can see my screen here. This is a letter that we need to actually send to Marco Rubio and Bassett, basically telling them that they haven't been doing their what they're supposed to be doing, their right service to us, and we're noticing them. All of us need to notice them, that we want to be protected and put under our jurisdiction, and he's the one that's supposed to make sure this happens with all the municipal and territorial governments and all that. Is he's the one that's supposed to protect us, and we're getting him for non-service and not doing what he's supposed to do. So this This was on an email that I sent you guys on Wednesday, I think is when I sent it, sent Wednesday night. If you guys can go through it, I will actually put it in another email so you guys can get it. But if you go to the bottom of this, there's an instructions on what to do, and I'll pull up that right here. This is the instructions on how you're supposed to fill it out and where you're supposed to send it. The other document, and there's actually one that you can edit. I'll pull up, I don't know if I can do that. I'll pull up this one here. This is the actual document. You'll see it goes to, you know, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, and the Homeland, or Arnables, whatever, to Secretary of Treasury, the Scott Bessett. You need to send this to both of them, and you need to fill it out with your name, your nationality, where you're, you know, what state you're from, and then have it notarized. You can do that anywhere, like at a bank or anywhere. It doesn't need, you know, a recording secretary to do it. It just needs a notary to notarize that you sign this, whatever, and then you send it off. It's really only two pages. A third page you don't need. But basically, this is one of the documents. I'm going to make a space on the LRO, so once you do it, then we can put it in your notices that you actually did send this notice out to them. And basically, he's got the UC codes and stuff, basically telling him that we're telling him he's in non-compliance, not doing his service to us, and we're noticing him. Anybody have any questions about this letter?
Is that for the original agreement with the territorial government? He was supposed to provide that service?
Yeah, as part of the Constitution and the stuff with them, their good faith services they're supposed to do for us, and they haven't been doing it. You know, if we're getting pulled over from the cops or we're getting harassed in any way, they're not protecting us like they're supposed to. You know, it's even like right now, a lot of the people doing their passports are getting weird stuff coming back now with they don't like the way you signed it, or your photo doesn't look current, or what was some of the other ones? I can't remember the other ones, but there's several different things, or it looks like you're a citizen, but unless you pledge your allegiance to the United States, then you have to file as a citizen and not a national. I mean, there's so many different things, and we're coming up with documents and stuff to notice them on that too. But again, Marco Rubio, you know, because he is Secretary of State, is supposed to make sure that we're not getting this kind of, you know, pushback from them, right? And that's, go ahead.
You want to say some more? Saying right, correct.
And basically, it's just we need to, as individuals, you know, each one of us have to notice him. To you know, the more people that notice him, the more that he'll understand that we know that he's not help. You know, like he's not doing his job as you know what he's supposed to be doing and helping us. And you know, we're putting him on notice. And if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, then the Federation can step in and try to get him removed, right? Anybody else have any questions about it?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, sure
can.
Hi, it's Yvonne and Mike. Do we have to print this in color with the red writing, and do we have to sign it in blue ink?
Okay, you got to remove the red and put it back in black. The red is just to let you know where you got to change them.
Okay.
Okay, and then you want, Aaron can maybe talk about this. I think you need to sign it in blue ink. Yeah, Aaron, is that correct?
Rocky, no. I'm actually signing in red, okay? So originally when all the documents are signed in blue because you're coming back from the sea jurisdiction, but once all your documents are done and recorded and you're back in the land, then from then on all documents will be signed in red. For land jurisdictions, because that's where you're based now. So, yeah, you will sign this in red.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jessica, you have your hand up?
Yeah, just one quick question. Why are we not stamping it with Arcia and just going to a general notary instead? If we're supposed to sign it in red ink, aren't we supposed to have our stamp on it to notify them correctly? Because wouldn't we be going backwards and putting a document back into the de facto by having their notary sign it?
Aaron, you want to talk on that one?
Yes, so don't think that you're going back into them de facto by having a de facto witness your document. Anything to do with litigation, you just need a witness. And honestly, you can have two other people witness your signature. It doesn't actually have to be a notary. So at the end of the day, the content is what is in the document is all that really matters, and that's been witnessed by someone or a couple of people. So, no issues whatsoever. In litigation, it doesn't matter. It's whoever's basically readily available that we use in any of the court stuff. It can be a public notary. It doesn't change the validity of your signature and who you are. All it is just witnessing your signature. That's it. Yeah. So don't stress too much about that.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just making sure that it didn't decrease the validity of the letter itself either. That's what I was more concerned with too. So it's not going to be that.
No ramifications on the validity of the document whatsoever. So don't stress about it. If you are better, just get two other ACNs to witness your signature. That's what we do in a lot of litigation too when we don't have access to a public notary or anyone. So two other witnesses is on the land and soil is just as good as anything else. So, so do whatever you feel is right for you.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
So do those two other witnesses, do they need to sign the document that they've witnessed our signature?
Yes. Yeah, so how it basically works, so you see on that down there, it says by, and that's where you would sign. So where it says notary witness, you would just take all that out and just go witness one and witness two. I can have Rocky put something in his in the email after this to show you how to do it. But because a lot of my court stuff I've done, I've just got two witnesses. So I just witness one, witness two, and then just they sign and then print their name and then put the date. And they would be in red too if they are ASNs. But that's all you really need, really.
Yeah. What I'll do is. On the file server for today, I'll take this one here, which is a Word document. No, the third one here. The third and the last one are the same things, but where you can edit them. So I'll take the Word document, I'll create another one from it, and I'll put the two witnesses on it for you, and then you can just have two witnesses sign if you want to go that way. Or you could take it to a notary. You know, if you have a bank or whatever, they'll do it for free. And that, all it is like Aaron's saying, is they're just witnessing that you signed this. It has nothing to do with your political status. Anybody else? Yeah, try to get this done as soon as we can. And get it sent out. I know, because you got to mail it. In the deal, it says to mail it either certified or registered. I think we do registered. We don't do certified. And then, or we can do it in express mail or.
Rocky Meyer.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So. International jurisdiction is registered mail and priority mail. Certified mail is what they use in-house from federal employee to federal employee. So that's why we don't use that. So that's why we kind of stick to priority, and it's a little bit cheaper anyway. You can do registered. It's going to have a bit more power, but there's no real need. Priority mail is probably the best in this situation. I yield.
Okay. So either registered or priority mail. And you want to get it with a... tracking number, if you do it in priority. in both of them, really, because we want to track it to make sure it gets there. It doesn't really need a signature on it, you know, a return signature, but it does need to be tracked. Anybody else?
May I, Rocky?
Go ahead.
Yeah, and so as with anything we do with any documentation, we're creating a case for ourselves. So just when you make sure you take a copy of this for your own records and keep that. And then also when it arrives, take a screenshot of that delivery notice of it arriving at that point. So you have the proof of when you send it by way of the priority mail number, and then the proof of it and them receiving it, just so that'll go with the original send.
Yeah, like what Aaron's saying is, like, when you put it in the envelope and you put all the stuff on it and you put the tracking number on it, take a picture of it so you have a picture of you, what you're mailing. And then once you track it, you'll track it on USPS. You'll track it to where it went. And once it gets there, then you want to take a copy of that tracking so that you have proof that it actually showed up there. Yeah, we want to have proof of everything that we do. Like I said, I'll work on getting a place on the LRO. Once you get that information, we can put it up on the LRO under your account, showing that you actually did it and you noticed them. Because that, again, that's putting it out in the public that it's you did this, right? Anybody else?
Yes, Rocky, I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Fitu. If you can you approach Anna if there is a possibility that we can enter our document into their system in order for them to recognize us? Because based on this article that you're showing here, because she said our record seems to be mysteriously lost. So what I'm thinking, because there is a way that we found out that you can submit your 928 through the de facto, and it's proof that is in there. So I just wanted to find out to see if you can approach Anna instead of us sending it through these guys to do their job, we can send it directly to the government, to the de facto. There's a portal. I'll find out a portal how to submit our 928 in order for them to recognize all of us throughout the system, through their system. I yield, but if you can actually contact Anna somehow to find out to see if there's a possibility, now that we have a seat of the government in Philadelphia, I yield.
Okay. Yeah, I'll message her and see what she says about doing that, or if we can do that. Because I know all the places that on the de facto recording, whatever, they just don't want, they won't accept our paperwork. And a lot of times they just won't let us do it. But there may be a place that we can do it, like you're talking about. So let me ask.
Yeah, let me add again to that, because there is a way that we can enter our 928 documents through the de facto system without being rejected. And I also wanted to add another piece of information in regards to passport. I got held back at the airport by showing the new passport because they couldn't find my name in the system of the passport. Isn't that funny? So the guy had to go through a lot of documents to pull up in order for them to accept my passport at the airport. I yield.
Wow. That's interesting. Since you said that, we've had a few people actually got their passports for their babies. One of them, when they sent it in, they got their passport back, for their kids. They actually also sent a letter asking them to fill out a death certificate for the kid, too.
What?
Again, this is their them telling us that they recognize that our birth certificates and everything are saying that we're dead, and that's what we're pulling ourselves out of. So if you do the passport and you actually do send in the death certificate form, right, then you're putting your kid back into their system. So don't do that. Don't fill out that paperwork. You don't have to. You already have the passport anyway. But it's just them trying to get us and your kids back into their system.
Wow.
Isn't it? It's just the amount of things that they're doing right now to try to trick us into getting, put us back into their system. Unbelievable. That's why we got to get this letter out, so they'll quit messing with us. And, hope it works. this is just one of the things that Anna says that we need everybody needs to do it. So, this is just going to be another one of our 928s. We'll try to add it to the list. Thanks. That when you get done. Anybody else? Any questions about it? Or okay. The other thing with this, trying to remember the next. I'm going to go into. The next part is our recording secretaries that I want to talk about. We're starting to open up now training on the recording secretaries. I don't know if Aaron wants to talk about it. He's going to have, starting tomorrow, a meeting for the recording secretaries. If you want to learn to be a recording secretary, Aaron's opening up the meeting for that. So, Aaron, do you want to talk about it?
So it's just time to start getting everyone on the same page so that, we can create the systems that we need and the understanding of the paperwork and how we do everything, just so we can start, setting that up so that everyone's ready for when we get the onslaught of people very shortly. But we're just kind of working through some stuff, just see where everyone's at tomorrow, and then as we figure out what's needed, then we'll just customize it so that we can just get the most amount of information across to people as quickly as possible. And if anyone needs any help with anything or anything, just let me know so that I can help you, because there's a lot of information, basically. But, all right. Come join. Let's learn. All right. Bye.
Yeah, the meeting is 3 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, and then the link and everything was in the email for this meeting. If you need more information, then you can either email Aaron or email me, and I'll send you that information again. The other thing, Aaron, I want to talk to you about is I'm going to start ordering the stamps and other stuff for the recording secretaries that actually do pass the class, and we do make them recording secretaries. I know Dakota doesn't have her stamps and stuff, so how many do you think that we should order now? And we can order some more later, too, if we need to. But what do you think we should have on hand? And what stamps and stuff should we get?
The main ones that we really need are the embossed stamps. They're the ones that we can't really replicate with Affinity. So definitely a few of those, 4 or 5. And then it'll be the same with the other ones. The other ones are pretty, they're pretty basic. They're handy for any new ones, new people coming in who have done their own paperwork that you need for that. We don't use it all the time, but if, if it's coming from outside and they've used the LRO to create the documents, we should be fine. But the boss one, so 4 or 5, I guess.
The one on the screen right here is the embossed one, and the bottom part is the foils that you need for the embossed.
Okay.
So right now I put 3 in here, but you're saying 4 or 5?
3 is a good number, bro. Yeah, you know, I've already, I think just start off with 3, and then we'll go from there, okay? I think that's a good number.
Okay, so well, we still have time for people to get trained and all that kind of stuff, too. And then we can order some more, but this is the place that we normally order any of our stamps and stuff. It's called rubberstampscamp.com. So if you guys want to order your own kind of stamps or whatever, that's where we get them at. This is the stamp for the embosser and what it looks like, basically. So, yeah, I was getting ready. I'm going to submit this one for 3, and 100 of the seals, you know, the golden seals, and they need to be gold, right?
Yeah, so for the declaration of political status, it's gold. But then a part of our training, well, part of tomorrow's training through what she was doing, they said the silver ones for the common carry. So because of jurisdictional, in the case of the gold is international and silver's national. So I've been putting silver stickers on the common carry. So that's something we can have more of a chat about tomorrow, but definitely gold, yes. And, you know, in the past we've done both, gold for both, but just of late, because of all the teaching that tomorrow's gone through, they said that they were putting silver on the common carry. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow anyway.
Okay. Yeah, they don't sell the gold, the silver one here. So the reason I'm buying them here is they're cheaper than buying them at, like, Staples or something like that. Your Office Max.
You can get them on Amazon too. I don't know the price on Amazon.
Okay.
That's where I got mine from.
It's from Amazon. Okay, I'll look on there too. I'll look for the silver ones too. I didn't know we need silver ones. But I was starting off with this one first. Yeah, go ahead.
Rocky and Aaron, just wanted to let you know I'm on the call.
Okay. So anyway.
Yes, that is correct. What Aaron is saying, that is correct. We need silver and gold.
Okay. I will get that ordered as soon as we can.
No problem.
Anyway, again, if anybody wants to become a recording secretary, you need to go through the training. The training starts tomorrow at 3 with Aaron online. Show up when we get to the point to, you know, where our government is up and running and the de facto, you know, all the people in our country learns about us and whatever and wants to do their paperwork, we're going to need recording secretaries. So we need to get you trained to understand how to fill out the paperwork. You know, remember, these are lawful paperwork. We got to make sure they're done correct and they're signed right and all that kind of stuff, you know, with the right colors of ink. And like you said, the stamps are correct. All that kind of stuff. So, anyway, if you want to, get on that call. Is there any other questions on this, on the recording secretary? Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Thank you, Aaron, for stepping up and doing training for everybody. It's great. One of the other things that we also... we need feedback from everybody here. Is everybody has done their paperwork here and whatever, but we need to start working on our welcome letter, our orientation letter for the people that do sign up. And what kind of information do you think would help the people coming into the assembly that they would need to understand who we are, what we're doing, and how they can help us in the assembly? So, if you guys can write up a little thing on, you know, basically explain what you think is important for people to know that's new and doesn't know anything about us, how can we orientate them to be an ASN or a national, you know, and understand what we're doing and how they can help us? Does everybody understand that or what we're looking for? This will be another document that we'll be working on. I think there's...
Rocky, you want us to email, like, a suggestion?
Yes.
To you?
Yes.
Okay.
If you can write out something, you know, like, even if it isn't exactly words that you want to, that you think should say, I mean, that would help too. But even like, you know, go to this website and watch this video, or, you know, anything that you think would be helpful for them to learn. You know, like, go to the TASA website, read what's on the TASA website. You know, look at the videos on there. Anything that you think that would help them would be great, and we can put it in this welcome letter. And this is something that the recording secretaries will use once they do all the paperwork and get these people's or paperwork, whatever you would hand them, this information, and they would then be able to go on, and you could help them with it if you need to. But it's something else that the recording secretaries should be doing, you know, welcome these people into our assemblies, right? Okay, with that, if we don't have any other questions on that, I don't know if anybody else wants to say something about it, or they understand what we need. Because again, this is things that we need to do to kind of show the de facto that how we're doing things and what we do and who we are, right? The next thing I want to talk about right now is PKTF. They're doing this resurgent. They do this, I think it's every month or whatever. They're going over different things about how to, or what happened to us and where we're going and all that kind of stuff. They want us as Clark County, or as the, actually really not Clark County, as the Union State. They want all the counties. They want us to do a article for the PKTF June article, okay? And I agreed to writing up a letter. We need pictures and stuff of whatever, but we also need like testimonies and stuff of people of what you think was good, you know, good about our assembly, how we're building things, what you think is important. Those kind of things. If you can write up maybe, you know, a paragraph or two of what you think that we can put in this article, and we will put you in the article. But I think it's a good thing for us as Nevada to be able to put something in, you know, a statewide article that basically tells people about the counties and the states and stuff like that. Anybody have any questions about that? And does anybody want to help? And getting, just email me with whatever stuff. Jessica, you want to say something?
Yeah, I'll help on that. But I also just wrote up a little, kind of a little section about the welcome letter. And it pretty much just saying, welcome to the Nevada State Chapter for the American State Nationals. We are honored to have you joining a growing community dedicated to education, self-governance, unity, and supporting our people in our state. As a member, you now have access to important meetings, educational resources, and announcements, and committee decisions designed to help you stay informed, connected, and educated as being a part of an American. What
do
y'all think?
That sounds good. Yeah, you get it emailed to me, and I'll get it to the people that are actually going to put that welcome letter together. If you guys want to, if any of you want to be on that committee to doing the welcome letter, you know, let me know, and we'll get you in touch with the people that are be working on it.
Okay.
And you can be one of the people working on it too. But again, we need stuff like that too to go into this article for the PKTF. They'll be on their website. It'll be published out. I think it would be good for our state to be one of the people that is able to explain how we built our union state and how we're building our counties and how we're moving forward for the rest of the world. You know what I'm saying? This is something important that all the other counties and all the other states will read this, and hopefully we can help them moving forward and getting their counties going too. So the union state is important, and there we got articles and stuff from Anna, you know, that explains, you know, me and Anna just talked about this, and we got some stuff from Anna that's going to help us too on getting this out to the people. And I don't know if you guys know too that Anna has tasked me and Luis from PKTF to actually write the How to Build a County Assembly handbook. We have the How to Build an Assembly, which is for the state. Me and Luis is working on the How to Build a County Assembly handbook. And all the counties in all the states will be using that handbook. So just so you know, I'm working on several different projects, and I think it's all good for us. It's all good for our counties. We need to get this in writing so that the other counties and other people, even the states, will understand who the counties are, what the union state really is, and that there is two states. You know, we got the State of the Union and the Union State. The Union State, which is, you know, what we're working on with all the counties. And, you know, put it in writing on how to build both of those and how we work together, you know, with the state and the counties. So any comments on that? Okay. So anyway, you know, if anybody has information on any of that kind of stuff, we're welcome to any kind of stuff we can put into these documents. You know, along with this article we're doing for the PKTF, which is in line with how to build assembly, right, but how to build our county assemblies in our union state. We need that kind of documents, and any kind of information that all of you have learned on the way of building our union state here, you know, in our counties too. You know, this is not just Clark County. This is all the counties in Nevada. That's what the union state is all the counties standing up and forming a union. Okay, that's what the union state means. Anything on that? Anybody want to say anything? Okay. With that said, the next thing we're going to go over is the decorum, and I'm going to open this up to Tamara. She's going to go over what we have in the documentation for the decorum, and it's another one of our documents we got to get done and fixed and addressed correctly. So, Tamara, do you want to take that?
Yeah, are you able to pull it up for me?
I
don't think the phone allows me to go through the letter and you at the same time.
Okay. Hang on a minute here. Just like I'll show you guys, you know, us.nevadaassemblyunionstate.gov.land/meetings, today's meeting on the 16th. And the quorum one, which is here. And let me blow it up so you could kind of go over it.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Everybody ready? Introduction. The success and effectiveness of our assemblies depend on maintaining a respectful, productive, and lawful environment for all men and women. As we work together to restore and operate our lawful government, it's crucial to recognize and address disruptive behaviors in our meetings and discussions that may hinder our progress or undermine our principles. The purpose of this guide is to help assembly men and women identify disruptive behaviors that can negatively impact our efforts. By being aware of these disruptive behaviors in our meetings and discussions, we can, one, preserve the integrity and functionality of our assemblies, ensure all status-corrected people can participate freely without any attacks, maintain focus on our core objectives in the work discussions of the assemblies, protect our assemblies from potential infiltration or sabotage, uphold the principles of self-governance and individual rights. It is important to note that this guide is not meant to stifle diverse opinions or legitimate debate. Rather,
It aims to highlight disruptive behaviors that consistently and significantly interfere with the Assembly's ability to conduct business and fulfill its responsibilities. We encourage all Assembly members to familiarize themselves with the examples of disruptive behavior. If you observe such disruptive behavior, please follow the guidelines and reporting process in this guide. Remember, our goal is to create a collaborative environment where all Assembly members can contribute successfully to the important work of restoring our lawful government. The disruptive behavior list will be reviewed and updated periodically to ensure it remains relevant and effective in supporting the smooth operation of our state assemblies. The types of disruptive behavior. Based on Anna von Wright's descriptions, disruptive behavior in state assemblies are including but not limited to the following. Attacking any progress made so far by the assembly, hijacking meeting agendas, imposing censorship, blocking members, consistently arguing and impeding progress, dominating discussions with irrelevant issues, disregarding rules of order by the moderator, monopolizing discussions or distracting from the discussion, speaking after being muted by the marshal at arms or moderator, being hypercritical and down on everything that advances the assembly's efforts, coordinated disruption, attempting to divide and conquer, attempting to create conflict and fight, polarize everything into sides, refuse to work cooperatively, electing themselves into several different offices.
Tamar, before you go on,
yes.
The reason that we're doing this, people, we want you to pay attention to what she's reading and saying and make jot down notes or whatever on what you think should be changed or how we should say it, you know what I'm saying, or how we should put it on this document. Okay, go on.
Harassment, attacking the organizers or the members, engaging in immoral honeypot schemes and actions, seducing other spouses, especially targeting assembly officials, displaying a snob attitude, bragging about IQs, using insulting fake names, sneaking around collecting data, investigating members to cause people to take sides, threats, advocating various forms of insurrection against the lawful government, trying to remove people from assembly work or discussions, gaslighting, accusing others of what they are doing themselves, gaslighting other assembly members, disorderly conduct, attending meetings while impaired by substances. Bullying, I know there was bullying on top. leading with ego, me, I. Being preachy and dragging religion into assembly business. Showing no respect for other people in the assembly. Attacking people because of separation of church and state. Bearing false witness. Gossiping and casting doubts. Spreading misinformation. Bearing false witness. Talking about states' rights without honoring states' responsibilities. Theft of assembly assets, seeking to control assembly assets like records, seals, websites, etc. Attempting to sell information about assemblies and members for profit. Attempting to control assembly assets. Fraudulent financial activity, attacking assembly ability to make money. Attempting to set up a gravy train out of assembly members. Advocating high fees of simple services. Attempting to set up financial schemes. Undermining assembly structure, attacking the foundation elements, paperwork, assembly process, etc., avoiding oversight of their activities, promoting unauthorized actions. Let's see. Okay. Reporting rules. Let me see. There it is. The following process outlines how to document and report disruptive behaviors in assembly meetings and discussions. This process is designed to maintain transparency while protecting the rights and privacy of all assembly members. When you observe disruptive behavior in an assembly meeting, document the incident immediately or as soon as possible within 48 hours of occurrence. Note the date, time, and location of the incident. Describe the specific disruptive behavior observed, referencing the types outlined in the Assembly Guide for Disruptive Behaviors. If possible, record names of other people involved or witnessing the disruptive behavior. Explain how the disruptive behavior impacted assembly operations. Provide as much detail as possible, including any available evidence such as video, audio recordings, chat logs, witness statements, or meeting transcripts. Document any previous attempts to address the issue directly with the member. Lastly, indicate the desired outcome or action you'd like the assembly to take to remedy the disruptive behavior. For immediate disruption during meetings or for ongoing or recurring issues, alert the committee or meeting moderator and follow up with a written report using the disruptive behaviors report email template to coordinator, moderator, ombudsman, and the oversight committee. The committees will acknowledge receipt of the report within 48 to 72 hours and conduct an initial review within the next meeting to determine if immediate action is required. An investigation, if necessary, will be initiated within 7 days. All information will be handled privately with access limited to those directly involved in addressing the issue. The committees will gather evidence, interview witnesses, and document findings. For repeated offenses, the progressive timeout process will be initiated as outlined in the Assembly Guide for Disruptive Behaviors. The committees may consult with the coordinator to determine appropriate actions. The Assembly members will typically be informed of the outcome within 10 days or next meeting of report submission, barring extenuating circumstances.
You know, one of the things that I see that we may want to change this is it says may consult with the coordinator. Maybe we put in here coordinator or chairman, because eventually the coordinator will go away and the chairman will be the person that will be handling a lot of this stuff. So this is one example that maybe we'd want to make a change to this document. So just make notes, you guys, and like I said, look at it yourself and then see what you think. Go ahead.
Okay. If disruptive behavior continues after initial interventions, the matter may be reported to the General Assembly for consideration and or forwarded to the Ombudsman and Oversight Committees for review. The General Assembly may determine further actions, including extended timeouts. All reports and outcomes will be documented in a future secure tracking system. The records keeper may develop reports quarterly to identify patterns of behavior or systematic issues. By using the email template attached, you will provide your report to the coordinator, moderator, ombudsman, and the oversight committee, the information, we're going to change a little bit, the information they need to begin an investigation. Your participation in this reporting process will help ensure disruptive behaviors are properly documented and addressed by maintaining a productive assembly environment. Remember, the goal is to create a collaborative space where all members can contribute positively to the important work of restoring our lawful government. Coordinator, moderator, ombudsman, and oversight committee. The initial review, this is the investigation process, the initial review, upon receipt of a report of disruptive behavior, the committees will review the report within 48 to 72 hours. They will verify that the report contains all necessary information and determine if immediate action is required. Evidence gathering. The committees will collect all relevant evidence, including video, audio, recordings of meetings, chat logs or screenshots, witness statements, and any other documentation provided. Witness interview. Key witnesses mentioned in the report will be identified. The committees will conduct brief, impartial interviews to gather additional information and document all interview responses. Analysis. All collected evidence and interview responses will be thoroughly reviewed. The committees will compare the reported behavior in relation to assembly rules and guidelines and determine if the behavior meets the criteria for disruptive behavior. Consultation. If necessary, the committees will consult with the assembly coordinator or other leadership. Should we put chairman over there also?
That would be a good idea, yeah.
Okay. They will discuss findings and potential courses of action, ensuring all decisions align with assembly principles and procedures. There you go, determination. Based on the evidence and analysis, the committees will offer an appropriate action. This may include dismissing the complaint if unfounded, issuing a warning for minor incidents, or recommending timeout or other disciplinary measures for serious violations. The reasoning behind the determination will be documented. I need you to go up a little bit for me. Communication. The committees will inform all relevant parties of the decision, provide a brief explanation of the reasoning, and outline any next steps or consequences. Follow-up. The situation will be monitored to ensure the disruptive behavior has ceased. Any necessary educational interventions will be conducted, and all follow-up actions and outcomes will be documented. Privacy. We will keep information about investigations private. Only those who need to know will have access to the details. All reports and evidence will be stored safely with the records keeper. We'll remind everyone involved to keep things private, too. Appeals Committee. An appeals committee will be established to review decisions made by the evolved committees when members believe the initial determination was unfair or incorrect. This committee ensures an additional layer of fairness and accountability in our process. This process provides a clear, step-by-step guide for the assembly members to conduct fair and thorough investigations of reported disruptive behaviors. It emphasizes the importance of evidence-based decision-making and aligns with the principles of due process and fairness as outlined in Anna's writings, and to treat your fellow man or woman with the same respect you want to be treated. Disciplinary actions. The disciplinary process in assemblies is designed to be educational and corrective rather than punitive. This approach aligns with Anna von Reitz's guidance on maintaining order while respecting individual rights and fostering growth. Key principles. The process is built on clear communication of specific disruptive behaviors, progress timeouts for repeated offenses, a focus on education, balancing exclusivity with the need for productive meetings, and removal from the assembly meetings only as a last resort, progressive timeout process. First instance, when a disruptive behavior first occurs, the specific behavior is explained to the member. A verbal warning and or next meeting timeout or more may be issued. During this time, educational materials may be recommended and or provided. Second occurrence, if the behavior is repeated, the issue is reiterated, emphasizing its impact on assembly functioning. A 1-to-2 meeting timeouts or more may be issued. Additional educational materials may be assigned. Third offense. For a third offense, a 1-to-2-month timeout or more may be applied. The goal is to give the member a final opportunity to correct the behavior before more severe actions are considered. Persistent disruptive behavior. For continued disruption after multiple interventions, consider removal from the assembly meetings. The goal of this process is to maintain order and productivity while providing members with the opportunities to learn and improve their conduct within the assembly meetings. By following these steps, the assembly can address disruptive behaviors effectively while upholding the principles of self-governance and individual growth in the assembly. Return, so far, does anyone have any questions? Or does anybody want to say anything at all?
No? I do have a question, Tamara. I mean, yeah. Refer back to the coordinator, the moderator, all those positions. As Rocky mentioned, that we do have the chairman, like Aaron.
Yeah.
So we remove that moderator from the narrative?
Okay.
Since we have the chairman.
Yeah.
But the reason for the moderator, because say we have a oversight committee. The moderator for the oversight committee, when they're having the meeting, if they do it online, will be the chair of that deal, and he would be the moderator, right?
So what you're saying that as moderator for each committee.
Well, it could be, or anybody could be a moderator, you know what I'm saying? It's whoever's putting the meeting on is considered the moderator, right?
I understand.
That wording we probably want to keep because the person that's doing the meeting should have some kind of say, too, in the process, you know what I'm saying? But again, we should have not just one person saying, you know, like blocking somebody or whatever. It needs to go through some process. And that's what this whole thing's about. And it needs to be more than one person. You know, like it could be the coordinator, the chairman, the moderator, you know, multiple people, right? We never want to give full authority to one person, right?
Correct.
Understood.
So that was the reason I made that comment. And again, This document's out there. I want you guys to go through it, write it up. You know, send us any changes that you think should be made. You know, P2, that was a good, you know, call. But again, you know, like, put in your stuff and then we can all discuss it. Because we need to get this process done and voted on, you know, for how we're going to handle people. You know, because again, as we go through this, you'll realize that people will have a way to rebut what happened. So, like, just because the chairman or the marshal at arms or somebody wants to put you on timeout or whatever, you'll still have a say in why you did what you did, and that wasn't really disrupting the meeting, right? So you should be able to have a say in the process too, and that's what I tried to build into this. So we all need to look at this and make sure that it gives the person that has a problem a way of, you know, explaining why they did what they did, or that they wasn't really trying to disrupt the meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tomorrow.
Return from timeout process. When an assembly member wishes to return from a timeout, they must first submit a written request. This request should acknowledge the disruptive behavior, explain lessons learned during the timeout, and include a commitment to follow assembly rules and procedures. The committee reviews this request, consulting with the assembly coordinator if needed, and verifies completion of any assigned educational tasks. Next, a meeting is scheduled with an online meeting call with the assembly members, committees, and coordinator. During this meeting, they discuss the participants' understanding of their behavior's impact, the specific assembly rules that were violated, and strategies to prevent future disruptions. The members' willingness to cooperate is also assessed. Following this meeting, the committees and coordinator decide on readmission. If approved, they set clear expectations for future conduct. If denied, they provide specific reasons and set a date for reassessment. If readmitted, the member returns to the assembly under the conditional period of observation. This period may last the next meeting, 1 to 2 meetings, 1 to 2 months of meetings, or more, depending on the severity of the original offense. During this time, the participant may have regular check-ins with the committees or designated mentor. After the conditional period of observation, where did we go? Oh, there
I
we
just
go.
Moved it up for you.
The member's conduct is reviewed. If satisfactory, full assembly privileges are reinstated. If issues persist, the conditional period of observation may be extended or further action considered. Throughout this process, the focus is on education and understanding rather than punishment. The goal is to support learning about self-governance, which is key to restoring lawful government. At all stages, participant rights are respected, balancing the need for order with the preservation of personal freedoms. The entire process documented in assembly records, and the participant status is updated in the assembly systems. The committee should work on improving the return from timeout process, collaborating with the Ombudsman and Oversight Committee. This team effort can address issues like participant isolation and unclear expectations. Potential improvements include a period of mentoring, tailored education plans, and gradual reintegration strategies. The Ombudsman Committee can provide insight on participants' experiences, while the Oversight Committee can help establish fair protocols. This collaboration aims to create a more supportive and effective return process that aligns with assembly principles and benefits everyone involved.
Yeah, that's all I had right now. I had some more stuff that I wanted to put in it as far as examples and that kind of stuff. I haven't got to it yet, but as you can see, I need help. We're all supposed to be doing this together because this is everybody's document. This is not Rocky's document or Tamara's document or anybody. It's all of us together. So we need to go through this as the people, and we need to set a time when we say, for right now, this is what we want to follow, and we want to vote on it and say this is how we're going to, you know, address disruption in our meetings and how our decorum works, right? There may be more we need to add to this that I haven't added, but again, that's a discussion that we need to have. Anybody want to say anything?
Yes, I do, Rocky. To go back to the timeout, I wanted to bring the case of Sue into this. Since Anna put this out, and her method of timeout is contradicting what she's putting out here for assembly members, and yet where does it apply in regards to Sue's case? It should be across the board.
You mean with Sue's timeout?
Yes. You might want to address, Anna, how we handle this, because if we are putting this narrative here as a timeout, it should be across the board. And that means it also applies to Sue and them.
Well, it should apply to everybody in the assembly.
Right. No, I'm just saying to address it to Anna, because her discipline of actually putting Sue on timeout, it doesn't reflect here of what she's putting here as a disciplinary action, is what I'm saying. Just to give her, you know, just to approach her that it doesn't, I'm not pleased with her method of actually putting Sue on a timeout. It's just a slap on the hand. And yet she's doing it to come and actually destroy or disrupt the entire assembly.
Right. Without
addressing.
Right. What I try to build into this is that is to give even someone like Sue a chance to explain what they're doing before they got put on timeout. But Sue has been talked to from Anna quite a bit. Okay. And it just never stopped, right? So Anna's last recourse, because she's talked to her, tried to get her to explain it. She had her even write her reasons for all the stuff that she did. And Anna said she never got nothing from her. The deal is Anna gave her, I think, all the chances in the world to correct, right? And Anna's last thing was to put her on a month timeout, right? For her to now look back at what happened and what went on. And, you know, the way I look at things is that when we're destroying our assembly, that's not helping. If we do anything to stop what we're doing, and that's kind of what this says too, is, you know, if you're disrupting it in any way so that we can't build assembly, we can't talk, you know, we're always trying to deal with something that you're doing, then it will go through this process of, you know, figuring out how do we stop this and how do we keep these people from disrupting us, right? Again, what the Federation does and how they do their timeouts has nothing really to do with our states, but it is a guideline to us looking at how we should do our timeouts, right? So I did it as a week and then a month or whatever, or 2 weeks, then a month or whatever, right? You guys can make it whatever you want. This is up to all you. This is just a start. That's why I want you guys to go through this, write on it, you know, figure out what kind of timeouts that we do, how do we do them, how do we give the person a chance to rebut it, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. Do you understand all that, P2?
Well, no. I hear what you're saying, but still it comes down to the point as to where, because it flows from the top down. So if she doesn't, stand by her rules, her guidelines, and how she put Sue on timeout, and Sue doesn't respond, How is that look on the bottom from us, self-governing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that means that people are saying it's the same thing as the de facto. Why should I follow that when the top doesn't follow their own guidelines? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, the deal is this shouldn't be a top-down anyway. It should. I was trying to write this to where it's the people that determine if somebody's going to be timed out. Right? It shouldn't be one person or a coordinator or Anna or anybody that says that you're going to be timed out for a month, right? It should be the people saying, We're tired of getting disrupted on helping us build our assembly. We want you timed out and stop for now so that we can build our assembly. That's what I was trying to get. Now, if it doesn't say that, let's reword it to make it to where it is all of you to determine if somebody is being disruptive, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we should be, because who is in charge of the assembly? It's every one of you guys.
Yeah,
it isn't one of us. It's not a coordinator. It's not a chairman. It's not, you know, martial arms. It's all of you have the say. And if you guys, you know, if all of you guys get the say and say, hey, they wasn't disruptive, we're not, we don't want to put them on timeout, they're not on timeout because you guys said so, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like I said in here, is that the committees will then get all the evidence and figure it out, bring it to the General Assembly, which is you guys, right? And then you all decide, no, that was okay. We didn't, that wasn't a time, you know, don't put them on timeout, right? And it's over. That's done. And then we go on to the next one, right? The deal is we have to have, we have to allow all of us to have a say in everything we do. And that's what this decorum was supposed to be like. And maybe I didn't write it right. But again, that's why I need everybody to put in their input and to give, so that we're giving everybody here the say-so on how things happen and how a meeting is performed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I yield.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, because I'm hoping that everybody gets on this. When we have our in-person, we're actually going to be writing on this. This is what we did on the elections handbook. We went through, we read it like this at that meeting, and we, you know, wrote on it. We, everybody had some really good, you know, input into changing it, getting it, whatever. That's why I want you guys to go over the one that's in the download here, this one here. This is the modified version of that we went through on the last meeting. Again, go through it. Make sure that, you know, we didn't miss something or something was said. You know, everything's in here. These last three documents that are on here are about orientation from Anna. They're articles that Anna, I'll click on one so you can see. It's basically orientation to help for the assemblies. It just goes over each one of these, talks about orientation and different things, so that, and this is what I normally do, is I go through these articles and stuff and I'll come up with a document on it to get started. But anything that we do isn't set in stone. It's, you know, anything that's done can be undone. We can actually, you know, vote it out and start over again. But we need to start with something, especially when we get ready to stand. If you listen to those videos from Lisa, she'll explain to you that before they did their elections, they did their ex parte Milliken and they sent it into the, you know, their government and, you know, all the people and whatever, and they got the majority of the letters back because they didn't recognize them as a government, right? And once they did their elections and they actually did a public elections and how are the deals, she said they didn't get none of them back at that point. So the deal is that's why we have to go through these processes and get all of our documents done, because this proves that we are a government and how we're going to run our government, right? So please help. That's all I'm asking is please help. So we're all here. Again, think of these deals, you know, like we're writing these things, you know, like this decorum, right? Think of it as you being on the other end. You're the one that they're trying to time out. How would you feel about it? How would you want to handle it? How would you want to be able to give your input into that? You know, because maybe you feel you wasn't doing, being disruptive. You were trying to help. And it didn't come out that right. You know what I'm saying? So maybe you shouldn't be on timeout. But how do we give you, the person that somebody is saying you're disruptive, how are you going to put it in writing to give yourself a way to explain that, you know, through our ombudsman. You do it, you know, there's different channels that we can use, which I try to put in here, you know, to basically somebody do the investigation, get all the material, you know, of who said this and who said that, right? And try to come up with a decision on it, right? That was all I was trying to do. What you guys believe we should do or not, that's important. And that's what we need to get you guys to put in your words, what you think should be in here, right? So anybody have anything to say about that or about what we just said or talked about?
Rocky, it's Mark. Should we put a deadline on that? Because otherwise people can put it off. I think we need to say here, we need a drop-dead deadline. Put your comments in by this time. Otherwise, we're moving forward. I yield.
That's a good point. What kind of deadline do you guys want? You want until we do the in-person meeting, or that gives you 2 weeks?
Go ahead. Sorry, Mark.
Thank you. I'd say until the in-person meeting. I think the in-person meeting that we had last week did, we made a lot of progress. So I think it should be on the in-person meeting. I think that's when the deadline should be. I yield.
Okay. Everybody agree?
I agree. So I can go over some other forms that I have, the templates, and then I can also send it to you and hopefully combine with this. So I think 2 weeks would be perfect to get everything done.
Anybody else?
2 weeks is good.
Okay. Do we want to vote on that? Okay, everybody want it to be by the 30th? Say, raise your hands if you agree to do it by the 30th. Here, I'm going to stop sharing so you guys can see the hands too, okay? Okay. Can you see the attendance in the hands? So we have...
I can't, but maybe... Oh, there you are. Got it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got more? 9?
I see 10.
You see 10? Okay, 10 hands that say yes, we want to get it done by the 30th. Okay, everybody lower their hands. Sandy, okay. Nick, lower your hand. Everybody that doesn't want to get it done by the 30th, raise your hands. Okay, zero on that. Any abstains? Raise your hand. Okay, no abstains. So on the 30th meeting, we're going to go over it for one last time, and then we're going to, the next meeting after that, we'll vote on it to be our document. Is that good?
Yep.
Good. Okay.
And also on the election one, the selection handbook, do we want to set a time limit on it? We already went over it once. You remember, we got to get all these things done before we go live here and say we have a government.
2 weeks is good for the next in-person meeting.
The what now?
I said, so the next in-person meeting, I think, is more than enough time.
To go through both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Agreed.
Okay, so the The next in-person meeting is going to be on the library on Eastern and Windmill. Okay? Sandy, you got your hand raised? You want to say something?
No, I think that was just to agree with the 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you. So anyway, you guys know the next meeting is going to be online. The one after that, the in-person on the 30th, is at the library on Eastern and Windmill. I will get that address and everything out to everybody so you'll know where it's at. As many people can show up. That one I will try to do online too, since we're going to try to work on, you know, approving this document, and I'll try to get everybody that can make it to the meeting be able to have their voice into it too. Okay? So that one will be a dual in-person online meeting. And if you're in person, I will print out all of these documents and hand you a copy. So if you come, you'll get a hand copy. So a hand printed, you know, a printed copy.
Thanks.
Trying to think if I had, I think there was something else. I don't remember now. This point, again, you guys, please watch the videos from Ohio, the two, video one and two. And again, go to, you know, if you want to copy your own copy of these documents, come here, you know, to the U.S. Downloads, that means Union State, so it's usdownloads.thenevadaunionstate.gov.land, and you're going to go, here, I'll go back. So when you first come in, you come into here, and where it says Union State Meetings, these are all the meetings that we've had. There's not all of them, I'll put more out there, but that's all everywhere since 2/2025. And go down to the bottom where it says 2026-05-16, click on it, and then these are the documents that we'll be going over. We're going to be working on this orientation one, so anybody that can get out information for that, please do, so we can get our orientation ready for, you know, our recording secretaries. One more reminder, if you want to be a recording secretary, or you just want to understand what the recording secretaries are doing, go to Aaron's meeting tomorrow at 3. The link was in the email today. If you don't have it or whatever, just email either me or Aaron and we'll get it to you. We need as many recording secretaries, and this is not just Clark County, in every county. We need recording secretaries in every county, so that we can get people, you know, that's the ideal of the Union State, is the Union State is all the counties. We need, you know, people recording in every county. We got to get all our counties up and running. So if you know somebody in another county or whatever and they didn't show up to this meeting, you know, email them, let them know that we're starting, you know, our training for the recording secretaries. And, you know, we need them, like I said, in every county. You know, when this gets hit and the public understands who we are, we need to be able to record, you know, and it's a little bit harder to do it online than it is to do it in person. So get the information out there to everybody. Any questions or anything or any new business that anybody wants to talk about?
Yeah, Rocky, this is Charlotte. I did watch Anna's last couple videos, and she's talking a lot about the banking, and it got started in Africa. Do you know any more about that, or could you elaborate on that a little bit?
From the last few things that Anna was talking about is that Africa right now is up and running, and they're using their prosperity cards, and they're transacting with each other in Africa. She said something about the next step would be the other continents in that same area. And in a, then after that, it would be us. But if you noticed in your account, you have a prosperity card in there. It's not fully activated yet. I did try to add money to it. It still says pending. So they're not allowing us to put money on it yet so we can use it. But that prosperity card is how we're going to use. We're going to use that to actually make transactions with, you know, the de facto system, all that kind of stuff. It is coming. It's just slow.
So it's just going to be with the vendors, or are we going to be able to shop with that?
You'll be able to shop
with it. That's the part I'm not getting.
With the prosperity card, you'll be able to shop with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just that again. They got to open up. They're testing it in different areas. Like I said, it's like right now. If you went to the vendors on the system, there's already people that's done this and actually has got product from them. If you go to the vendors that are on the vendor list, and you pick something in there that you want, and you order from them, they'll ship it to you, and you'll pay it through FDs. But you can only use FDs right now, right, through that vendor list. So that is working right now. You can actually buy things through that vendor list. You just need to make sure you talk to them and see if they're ready to, you know, ship and all that kind of stuff, you know, before you try to buy something through there. But it's slowly getting opened. I believe that it's going to come quicker than we think. I don't know. Aaron, do you have any more information on that? Because I know you've talked to some other people in overseas.
Yeah, I have a little bit more. So I've heard through my sister, who listed a lot of stuff from Tony, which is the coordinator for Ireland. He seems to be a lot more straight up, and he gets a lot more information that we, most people, don't. It's because he has a better relationship with everyone involved, I'm understanding. And so basically just by the screenshot he sent, we're waiting on an app. So as soon as that app comes into existence, we can download it. And what they're basically doing is they've created an AFD1, which is essentially, I have to go back and look at it, but you have to be able to prove your prosperity card being transferred into AFD1, and from AFD1, then it can be exchanged with any currency. Something to do with jurisdictional and what they represent individually. It's a one-for-one trade from AFD to AFD1, and then once you approve that, then you can exchange in any currency, but that'll be all through the app that we'll have access to at some point. That's what we're basically waiting on. And once that happens, then it should be pretty easy then.
Thank you, Aaron. So, Charlotte,
okay,
did that.
Another thing, I'm sorry. Another thing, I'm not understanding what this conversion rate that she said something about. What exactly is she talking about?
Like what Aaron was saying, they've created another. There's actually two systems, kind of. There's you got your AFDs, and then you'll have the AFD1. The AFD1, you'll be able to convert into, say, USDs or won or whatever, right? And there'll be whatever the conversion rate, you know, the exchange rate really of between AFD1s to whatever currency. Now the other exchange, what Aaron is talking about, is you're going to exchange or convert money from AFDs to AFD1 so that you can use it in the other system. That is a one-to-one transfer. So it's still, when it's an AFD1, it's still an AFD. When you go from there to, say, USD, then that one AFD1 would be worth like 500 and something USD. That's the conversion. So they got to get all that worked out with the FD1.
So does that depend on what the gold price is for the day?
Yes. And that's something you're not going to have to worry about. The app will do all of that. At the time that you buy it, say, like, if you buy something and the exchange rate from AFD1 to USD is $520, but in tomorrow it may be $500. But you already bought it today at 520. It's 520. Tomorrow it could be less. It could be more. Right? Or it could be an hour later. It could be more or less. You know what I'm saying?
That's the way the market goes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wasn't understanding all of that. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's just all about, if you haven't ever worked, because I used to write hotel software, and I actually installed our software all over the world. So I had our software in South Korea, and we had to work with exchanges because you had people that come from the U.S. and they wanted to pay in U.S. dollars. Then we had to do the transfer of the currency at that time, what the exchange rate was, to Korean won, right? So basically, if I gave them $100, well, back then it was 1,000 won. You know, like $1 was 1,000 won. So anyway, there's a conversion, but it's whatever that percentage is on the exchange, and that changes by the minute. And it's at the time when you make that transaction is what you get for it.
Okay.
So anybody else have any questions?
That's what I'm not understanding. Like, say we want to go to the Target or something like that, and we use our card there.
It's going to be an app on your phone.
Okay. And then it's just going to take out the amount in USDA?
Well, US that's what money? They'll see. That's what they'll see. But on your end, it would be like, you know, say like if you bought some for $500, then it may be 0.95 AFDs, right? It'll be taken out of your account.
Okay.
Right? You're not going to have to worry about that. You just got to worry about how many FDs you got left over.
Okay.
Any questions?
Go ahead.
You appreciate.
Really?
Yeah.
Nick?
Hey, sorry about that. I didn't realize I was not muted.
Okay. You didn't have anything to say?
No, I'm good. I pretty much understand what you're talking about. I've done a lot of crypto trading, so I get it.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. It's whatever the exchange is at the time. You know, it's like gold goes up and down, even silver goes up and down by the minute. So it's, you know, it's, I think even silver right now and gold. Gold right now is $4,551. So that means one AFD would be
worth $455. It's going to be another year before this happens?
No, this is going to happen soon.
Sooner?
I think it's going to be sooner. I don't think we have a month before it happens, but you never know, you know. It just, things are happening too fast, and the programs and stuff, you know, like online and all that's happening. You know, we got our Prosperity card, you know, account already on our account. You know, as they're moving forward on that, it'll just, let me tell you a little, I guess, a story or whatever. About 2 or 3 Mondays on Anna's call, she was telling everybody to, every time that you go to bed tonight, think about what you want or what you would want your life to be like in the future, right? And she said to do this for 21 days, okay? And to me, when people talk like that, that's, they're talking cryptic and in signs. And I believe what she was saying is that probably within 21 days or whatever, we're going to need to worry about what kind of life we want, what house we want to live in, what, you know, if we're not married or not, if we are married, do we want to stay married or whatever, because if this money does come, you know, that soon, what is it that we want to do with our lives, right? How, you know, because the deal is when you get that kind of money, your life changes, right?
Oh, honestly, yes.
And when it changes like that, have you really thought about what you really want in your life? What's important to you? You understand? And that's, I think she's trying to get us prepared, because it's probably going to come sooner than we think. And are we going to be prepared for that?
Okay. And yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I know there's, I mean, if you look at the people that's won big sums of money from lottery, whatever, they've either killed themselves or become drug addicts, or, you know, when the money goes away, or they get to the point that they don't know what to do anymore because they're not happy they got the money. Still not happy, right?
Yeah.
So, again, we're at a position now that we know we're going to get a bunch of money. What do we really want in our life? What's going to make us happy? Are we happy now? Right? Is the money going to change anything?
Yes.
So that's all Anna was saying in that deal. And I think she was trying to give us some kind of timelines that may happen. So I believe within a month or two, we may, you know, it'd be a whole different world for us. You know what I'm saying? It could happen that quick, or it could happen even sooner, because Anna even said it could happen next week. You know, you maybe need to know within a week or whatever. But she said at least for 21 days, you know, before you go to bed, think about what you really want. What's important to you?
Yep.
Right?
That's very true. She did say that.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you guys, I don't know, let me share my screen again, too. I'll let you guys know, too. It's, a lot of people don't know where to go get Anna's videos or whatever. I'm sharing my screen right now. This is the website again. They go all the way back to when you log in. If you notice here, it says Anna Coordinator Calls. Anna Monday Night Meetings. Right? If you click on those, I try to put up a lot of her call, you know, when I record them, whatever, I put them in here, and they'll be the same day. If you wanted to go in here and see what, you know, like if this Monday, and you couldn't be on the call, and but you want to know what she said, go to here, because Monday night, it'll be up there on the Monday night calls. Okay?
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
So, you know, the other places you can go for the coordinator calls, it's called Mop and Bucket. You can go there. If I can show you that one. This is all the coordinator calls. So if you go to Mop and Bucket, you can go watch coordinator calls forever if you want. These are all the coordinator calls. This was the one from May 14th. Now, the last two of them, she wasn't on there. She did make some comments, you know, to Michelle through the phone, you know, tell us something to do or whatever. But you can go watch all these, too, by going there. But again, if you know my website, you know, our website, which is the Union State one, and I want to know, you know, what the coordinator calls are, these are, I'm starting to number them, you know, the dates, whatever they happen, so that way you know. But these are the ones I record, because I record it live while I'm talking, you know, where I'm in the meetings, and then that's what I put up here. The same thing with the coordinator calls. I do those here. But, you know, I try to put all of them on here, you know, as I get them. So, and I try to do it the same day. You know, by the end of the night, I try to upload them. Trying to keep our history and what's going on. You know, it's even the ones, you know, like the meetings from Sue, you know, them up there, whatever. You know, I have the Nevada. I thought I had the Nevada one here. I'll have to go fix it. But I try to get those recordings, too, and put them up here so that you guys can watch what happens in the state, too. I think we all need to be informed of what's going on in our state. And these are all of our documents, all of our history of where we came from, where we're going. So I'm trying to put everything I can up on this server. This server has 46 terabytes of space on it. I can put a lot of stuff up there. All the videos and all our meetings and everything's on there right now. I've only used 500 gig. And it's got a lot of videos and stuff on here to watch. So, and it's all even training. You know, I do a lot of the training stuff is in the training folder. So just dig around in there. It's all this information is for all of us to look through and, you know, try to learn. You know, again, when we do our orientation, maybe we want to put a link to this or tell them how to go to here and get our past history, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is stuff that we have to do. The other thing, I don't know if Paul's on here. I don't see him. Paul just finished, let me see if I can show you that. You know, the people that jumped off. This is our website for our courts, our court records.
Oh, nice.
So as we're going, we're building all of our systems right now. This one is going to be for the courts. There's another part of this screens that is for the actual court clerk, which is going to get access to this website to be able to upload our court cases and put our court documents on here. This is the beginning. This is the public side of that, and only the cases and stuff that should be in the public will be here. That'll be another thing that everybody here needs to decide on, what we put out here for the public to see. You know, because if it's a personal type, you know, say maybe it's a CPS case or something, we may not want it in the public, right? And right. So it wouldn't be in the public. It wouldn't be here where you could find it, but it should be where the people that are involved in that case could find it, right? So there's going to be ways that you log on. You know, the other website, it is this one, the public website. This is so that we can post all of our public notices and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like if when we do our elections, that's one of the things I'm going to talk to Paul with right now is to get the election stuff up in here, because this is in the public, and this is our way of, you know, publicizing whatever we want to the world, right? So we got a lot of websites. We got a lot of stuff getting done. You know, it's like you said, with the court one, it's getting done. The LRO is pretty much done. I mean, Aaron and all of them are using it right now. I made some big changes this last week or whatever on marriage certificates and baby deeds and stuff like that, so we can record those and to make it easier for the recording secretaries to be able to do that. So, you know, if you want to be a recording secretary, go to that. You'll learn a little bit about that system. You know what I'm saying? It's see if I go here. And again, if you haven't created an account on here, this is the LRO, is the go create your account here. And so we can get your paperwork and stuff up on this one. When you're on this LRO, the voting system that we've done, and I'm not done with that one either, if you have a record in here in this LRO, you'll be able to vote electronically because it's tied to the LRO, and that's how we verify it. Right now, we're going to do the vote on the 22nd. We're going to have to manually look here and on the other LRO to verify that you're an ASN or an ASC, right, so that your vote will count. So these are things. I mean, if I go here, you can see the verify part. I'll just key in something for me. But you see, this is some of the people that are in here right now. Uh-huh. If I click on it, this is all my information. I can click on one of my documents. That's my document that's online. This is all live. The LRO is live. Our LRO in Nevada is live. And we're starting to record people. That's one of the reasons that Aaron is starting to do training again, so we can get people trained on how to use it. Any questions on where we're moving, or, you know, what people think that we should be working on? I mean, like I said, when we stand up our government, we need to prove that we are a government, and these things prove that we are a government. You know, these, you know, because when we send in our ex parte Milliken again, and we're going to let them know this is our courts, you know, and we're going to give them this website. This is our courts. You know, this is our public notices and everything, or where they're going to be posted on our bulletin board. You know, this is our people, how we record people. You know what I'm saying? They're going to know we are who we are, and we have the goods. We know what we're doing, and we know how to run a government, and we have one, right? So we got to keep moving forward. We've got to get more people involved, and we got to get our documents done. That's why we worked on them today. All this stuff we got to get done, you know, so we can prove we're able to run a government, right? And if you listen to those videos from Lisa, she explains exactly what I'm telling you right now, what we need to do to prove to them who we are so they'll listen to us, right? If you want, you know, if you get a ticket or whatever and you want us to fight it, we need our courts. We need our government running so we can do that. Any other comments?
Yes, Rocky. The one thing that I noticed with the LRO, especially on a cell phone, it is magnified way too high. So I thought at first it was my device, but it is not my device. I tried it on several different phones.
Yeah, I try to make it is, you know, where it works on all the devices. I'll have to go check it on phones again. It was supposed to be able to work on phones. It's like if I take this right now and I shrink it up, it only goes to a certain point right now,
right,
until you can't see it, even this one here. Basically, because of the amount of information, you may, like if it's a phone, it may be this size, you may not be able to see it. You'd have to scroll around.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is it's just so magnified you can't see anything at all. So what I think we should do is just notify any new members coming in. If they're going to go on the LRO, it has to be a computer that they go on so that we can avoid that kind of issue of them. We can't get
right
in there.
Yeah, this one wasn't. But if you go to the regular websites like this one here, these ones are actually built to be used on a phone. You'll see the size of it. It shrunk down, but if I grow it, you'll see it grows. It changes based on the size. These ones you can actually see.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think, like, as far as, like, the LRO and that, until we actually get secured, encrypted phones and things like that, I just think, like, the LRO itself should just be on our, you know, computers versus, you know, because we can encrypt it. Our back end's a lot easier on our computer than we can on our phone.
Yeah, every one of these websites are encrypted. There's going to be a hard time for anybody to get to the data that's behind any of these screens. It's through multiple layers of encryption and file systems, and even the file systems are permission only to certain people. When I first started doing it, and Aaron could even say this, I think he got off, but I went over to his house and whatever, and I couldn't get to it because of the permissions I had on it. So I had to change some of the permissions. But again, everything that we're doing is highly encrypted. We don't want people to get to our data. You know, if we put it out here in the public and give you a screen for it, then it's public then. But other than that, no.
Right. And I think as far as I love how the court, the county clerk's document website looks.
This
but
one?
When you were, yeah. But what you were saying as far as, like, when it comes to, like, certain cases, we should have a code that we give that particular party so that they can access that particular case versus, you know, so that it's not, you know, potential to sneak out and be in the public.
Yes. The way that this is built, there's administrator logins, and then there'll be the people, the cases where the people will have their own logins for their case. So there's going to be different things. We're trying to think of everything. You guys will get a say-so in the end. Right now, we're trying to get something working so you can look at it, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a few ideas I'm going to actually email you later on, too, as well. Go over it with everybody. I mean, they're just ideas, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. They work, they don't, you know.
Every idea is... Any kind of ideals is good so that we can work on it. But you can see, you know, Paul's working on this court one. He worked on the public one. I'm working on the LRO. We got developers and stuff. We got three people in IT right now that's working on a lot of this stuff. And, you know, we're going as fast as we can too, you know. And it's a lot of work. I mean, this is all done with We're hand coding everything. We are not using any third-party software at all.
Right.
We wrote all of this.
All right. And then the other thing was that I'll think about it and tell you later.
Okay. Well, we're getting a little late here. Let's go ahead and adjourn this meeting, and we'll follow up with the next meeting with a lot of this stuff. But as you guys can see, we're moving forward. We're getting the stuff done that we need to get done. We're getting our courts. We're recording, a place for our recording secretaries and our court recorders and all that to have a place to put all our documents. We have a secure place. We have our own servers. We're not paying for, any of this stuff. We're all doing it. The stuff that is getting paid for is basically the internet access. And because it's at my house, I got to pay it anyway. And the file server I bought a long time ago, so we're not paying for file space. Like I said, it's got 46 terabytes on it right now. We need more, I'll put more. You know what I'm saying? We're not even touching 1% of it right now with all the stuff we got on it. So I don't see us having an issue for another 5 years that we may do something. By then, we'll have money that the assembly can afford to do something else, right?
Rocky, I just want to tell you thank you to you and everybody else that volunteers their time, because I'm not computer literate, because that's why I haven't done anything. I don't even own a computer. I got to get one of those. But I just want everybody to know how grateful and appreciative I am.
I agree with that too, Jess. Rocky, thank you so much for your skills and your knowledge. I do IT work, but not near as close as to what you do, which is very thankful for what you guys do in IT, and appreciate all your efforts and what you've built. To me, it's absolutely amazing. That's a gift from God. Just praise God for you.
Yeah, I believe. I don't know if the people that didn't come to the in-person meeting, we talked about the Earth Angels. And majority of us in this assembly are Earth Angels, and I'm one. And I believe that God, through my life, has geared me to where I need to be here to help do what we're doing now. Writing software, getting assembly going, getting the courts going. I believe I was, one of those people, and this was my mission in life. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of us think the same way. You know what I mean? So.
Thank you.
I thank God for everything he's gave me and all the knowledge he's gave me to be able to help you all. And, to help all of us, because this is really going to affect us all, right? And any help that you guys can put in, it doesn't have to be in computers. It could be in writing documents. It could be editing documents. It could be all kinds of stuff. Go ahead. Anybody else want to say something? This whole movement is about all of us helping together. But anyway, like I said, we're getting late here, so let's move on to the next meeting. I appreciate everybody being here. Do I have motions to adjourn?
I make the motion we adjourn.
Second it.
Second it.
Everybody that want to adjourn, say aye.
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 Everybody that don't, say no. Okay, this meeting's adjourned, and we'll see you guys next Saturday at 6:00.